right, thanks everybody, and welcome to the George Waddle Jr. Show, Internet Block Talk Radio, Internet Radio Talk Show. I am the talk show host, of course, and this is Thursday, December 3rd. Wow, it's great. November's gone and December is here. Wow. And I know I sound perky, I know I sound good, and I try to. I really do. Because I love doing what I'm doing. I love doing what I'm doing. But, you know, I mean, just like the what it says on my screen, police shootings in Chicago. I mean, what is going on in the world? Now, it's been reported that we have at least have had in the city of Chicago, I believe, or I'm thinking maybe it's the United States, 355 shootings, mass shootings. I believe that's Chicago. And there's no let up from it. What's going on? Some people are saying God is sleeping. Where is God? God, why is God letting this happen? Where's Jesus? And then some people are saying, hey, God can't help us. God can't do anything about this. God isn't doing anything about this. What's going on? This is awful. This is awful. All of these massive shootings and these assholes in Congress still can't come together and try to do something to keep people, awful people, crazy people, mentally ill people, stupid people from getting guns. Now, this guy with this latest shooting, he was born in America, but he was radicalized. From what I'm hearing, Malik. It was, from my understanding from reports, it was two people, a couple, a guy and his wife that he met online. And they were armed to the hilt. Suspects had 1,600 rounds of ammunition on 12 pipe bombs at home. They left a 6-year-old daughter with his grandmother. Probably weren't going to come back. Wow. And there's still a motive is unknown. And Barack Obama, the president of the United States, is still wrestling with if this was terrorism or not. And I quote Obama saying, we don't know if it was terrorism related. This is what he's saying. To shoot, to maim. They came prepared. From my understanding, it's 14 dead, 14 dead and 21 wounded, as if they were on a mission, as if my ass, they were on a mission, 14 killed, 21 wounded, the victims. And I'm going to say straight out, this was terrorism. I'm going to be like Donald Trump. Donald Trump and a lot of people in Congress are saying this is terrorism. Of course it was terrorism. Terrorism. Now, what you assholes going to do in Congress to stop this? They're not going to do anything. And Obama looking sad and dejected and hurt and all that kind of crap. Man, you got to get up off your ass and do something about gun control in this country. Stop these people from getting these guns. Don't be all depressed and dejected because this is happening. You are in a position to stop this from happening. I've had people say, well, George, don't blame Obama. Obama is the president of the United States. All of this stuff is happening while he's still president. All this is under his will to trigger. Obama would have never done anything like this physically. But he is the president. Of course, Congress ain't going to do a damn thing. I mean, these people are in the pockets of the NRA, the NRA writing their paychecks, you know, so they're not going to do anything. The NRA is giving them, donating money for their campaigns. Of course, they're not going to do anything, and Obama should know this. But my thing is, Obama has executive authority. I think he can use that, you know, to try to curb some of this mess. If you're not going to do anything, at least protect. Act as if you're going to do something. Even if you fail, the American people's going to say, well, hey, wow, he tried to do something. The Republicans held him back. You know, try and do something. And like I said before, people say, George, don't blame Obama. He didn't do anything. It's not his fault. And I try to tell people, he is the president of the United States. He should be able to do something without these clowns in Congress who are going to do nothing. I'm losing my thought. There's some noise going on in the back of me, and I'm losing my thought on this. But anyway, I mean, my thought is not too far away because, you know, this is horrific. This was a horrific thing that happened. It's like America. It's like the new normal. Is the new normal mass shootings all over the place? America under siege. America, the United States of violence. Is that what it's come to? Is that what it comes to? I don't know, but this is horrible. This is not right. And the Republicans, they had a moment of silence today on Capitol Hill for the victims of this latest shooting. The Republicans, they have a moment of silence every damn day. All the time. That's why they get nothing done. They're silent about it. They're still a do-nothing Congress. Do nothing. They don't care. They're being bought and paid off by the gun lobbyists. They're not going to do anything. They're getting their money from them. They're not getting their money from you and I. They're getting their money from the big donors out there, the NRA, National Rifle Association. But something has to happen. This just cannot keep going on. And of course, yes, this was terrorism. There's no doubt about it. The minute I heard this guy's name and that he was a Muslim, I'm saying to myself, terrorism. Even though he was born in the United States, he was born here. Obviously, he was radicalized. I'm pretty sure he used the internet to become radicalized, ISIS, ISIL, whatever they call it, jihadists, Al-Qaeda, because he went, from my understanding, he went to Saudi Arabia to pick up his wife and brought her back here, and they went on a rampage. And this attack in America on this place that caters to people with disabilities was deliberate. They wanted to take out as many people as they could. If they hadn't gotten caught or shot dead, they probably would have driven to some other some other agency that's been being funded by the government and shot those people up too. You know, this is horrible. This is terrible. Like I said in so many other shows, ISIS is here. The bad guys are here. And you hear, I've heard Obama, I've heard other politicians say it, I've heard the president of France say this. They say, well, we've got, we're all ready for terrorism. We can handle it. We're safe. I've heard Homeland Security say, yeah, we don't expect any terrorism here in the United States because we got that down. We know what to do if it happens. We know how to stop it, curtail it. You know, we know how to prevent it. We got the tools in place to not have this shooting like there was in France in the United States. They had nothing. They weren't even ready for this. It caught them by surprise. They were not ready for this. They're trying to. Our borders are open. The U.S. borders are open. The president is saying, "Send us 10,000 refugees." You know, I mean, this is what's happening. When you talk about refugees, talking about bringing people into the country that could possibly be sympathizers for ISIS or some other terrorist group over in the Middle East. But this is horrible. This is sad. This has got to stop. We are not safe in America. We are not safe anywhere. I've said this before. ISIS wants to conquer the damn world. Even though France, the United States, and other allies are bombing the hell out of ISIS strongholds over there in Syria, Egypt, Iraq, Afghanistan, trying to keep them from coming here. But I keep saying they are already here. And there are so many Americans, people who are born here, who are becoming radicalized and buying guns legally, not illegally. They are buying guns illegally and going off and shooting up some damn place. And when, after this is all said and done, you interview the people who know these people. Oh, he was so nice. He's a nice guy, a young man. He didn't say much. He was shy. He kept to himself. He always spoke. And then all of a sudden, this person goes berserk and kills 14 to 20 people. And everybody is shocked and surprised by it. We've got to find a way in this country to... They're already here, and they're wreaking havoc on us. ISIS, jihadists, whatever you want to call them, they're terrorists. And this guy was radicalized. I believe his girlfriend was also radicalized, and they were dressed in tactical gear up to the kazoo. Wow. This is madness. This is craziness. This is just absurd that we have elected officials in this country who can't seem to stop this, who cannot seem to want to stop this, who are at certain times blaming the victim. The victim is dead. Well, the victim, well, they should have had guns and shot back. Really? Really? All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Google, as I've always say and I've always mentioned. You miss a show, you miss a lot, and you sure will. You sure will. Only listen to me. Okay, I'm the one. I'm the one. Even though this is internet radio, Blog Talk Radio, it is still radio, and I'm still a talk show host. All right, my I don't have a guest today, so it'll just be me and you. I hope that's okay. But I will have a guest tomorrow. She is, let me see if I can find her here, if she's on the list. Not on this list. Let's see. Anyway, I do know her name. Her name is Carol Fleet Brody, okay? She's an author. She's a television personality. She's a radio personality. And she has something she wants us to know, okay? And so she should be on the show tomorrow, December 4th. And we're going to be expecting that and anticipating her on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Carol, what is it? Carol Fleet Brody. Okay, I never met her. Okay, not in person anyway. So I'm just hoping I don't screw up her name, like I did the guest. What was his name? Rick Goodread, and I kept saying Goodread, and it's Good Friend. All right. Anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. We're going to try and get into a lot of things today, if we can, if time is on my side. All right, I'll be right back. Thank you. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. We're back. This is the George Waldo Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Make sure you, if you can't listen live, make sure you podcast the show, download it, listen to it on the internet. That's what is it. That's what it's called, an internet radio show. And the show is pretty popular because I make sure that it's going to be popular with you out there. All right, so here we go. We're going to be talking about police in Chicago, okay? I know you guys heard about Laquan McDonald, the 17-year-old teenager that was shot 16 times, and Rahm Emanuel is under fire for, you know, suppressing the Tere Alvarez, state's attorney, is under fire for not filing charges a lot sooner. It was 400 days. Federal investigation of the Chicago Police Department, and then he turned around again and said that he wanted a federal investigation of the police department. You know, he's on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat. I mean, first he said he didn't want an investigation. Now he says he does want an investigation. When he said he did not want an investigation, everybody else, politicians included, Hillary Clinton, we're saying that should be a federal investigation. Rahm said, no, that shouldn't be a federal investigation. And we were all thinking, why doesn't he want a federal investigation? What is he hiding? Uh-oh, he's guilty of something. And suddenly, I guess somebody whispered in his ear, Rahm, say that you will welcome a federal investigation. And that's what he's just said, that he will welcome it. But still in all, he refused it. And we're all saying, what is he hiding? Why doesn't he want the feds to look in on this police brutality, this corrupt police department of his? And now my understanding is three more police shootings videotapes will be released. And they all contradict what the police is saying. Okay, in this latest tape, they're saying that some guy, some teenager, some man or whatever, had a gun and was coming after them. But the parents and the lawyers say that's not true. That is not true. I mean, if you think about it, why would a lawyer, a well-respected lawyer, represent someone whose son has been gunned down by the police if he had a gun? So this is something we're just going to have to wait and see. The police said he had a gun. He was coming after them, and so they shot him, saying that the police planted the gun the mother is saying that the police planted the gun on her son. And the lawyer is saying that his defendant did not have a gun. And the police are saying he did have a gun. And the lawyer said he's seen the videotape. So we'll see where that goes. I think it's supposed to be released either this week or early next week. This is a second police. There's a third one. So an investigation of the Chicago Police Department is welcomed. These guys are something else. I mean, the police talk about a code of silence on the street. The police themselves have a code of silence. They have a code of silence. And like I've said before in some number of shows, there are bad policemen out there on the force, and there are good policemen. But however, the good police become bad police because they will not turn in the bad police officers. So this Laquan McDonald incident is not over by a long shot. Anita Alvarez, everybody's calling for her to resign, is being upped. I mean, people are really chanting for her to go. And this is politicians and everybody. And she, I saw a clip of her tonight on television, and she was pretty animated. She said she's not going anywhere. She was very upset. She was angry. She was pissed. She was said she's not going nowhere. That's the same thing that Superintendent Gary McCartney said, and he's out of there. So she was very animated. I was surprised by how pissed off she was. And I'm telling myself, this woman needs to go. I mean, if she loses it like that, she needs to go. She can't handle the job. This job is too much for her. And in some instances, I'm expecting her to resign. Even though she's up for re-election in March, she may not last to March. And because she waited for 400 days to charge this police officer who shot this guy, this young man, 16 times. She waited 400 days to charge him. And that's what people are pissed off. And some of these other videos where the police shot, a white police shot a black person, they are still on the job. Why haven't they been charged? She's not on a lot of other cases where she dragged her feet to charge a police officer who shot a black person. So she's on the hot seat, and I do think she should resign. You know, but I want to say one thing about Emmanuel and Gary McCartney, the former superintendent of Chicago. Just days before Emmanuel fired his, Tom Emmanuel was saying that he had his superintendent. Two or three times, I've got your back, man. I'm not going to fire you. I got your back. I don't care what these people say. I don't care what anybody say. I'm not going to fire you, Gary. And Gary, and Mr. McCartney, the superintendent, former superintendent of Chicago, he believed it. He believed his boss, that his boss was not going to get rid of him because his boss told him, Rahm Emanuel, his boss, told him that he had the superintendent, the back, the police superintendent's back. Suddenly, all of a sudden, out of the blue, surprising everyone, Rahm Emanuel fires him. After he told the guy two or three times, maybe more, that he had his back. My point here is that even though I have been talking for a long time about Gary McCarthy should resign. But the point here, what I'm trying to make, is Mary Emanuel told the superintendent that he had his back twice, maybe more. Then he ups and fires the man. Now, and I'm pretty sure it surprised Gary McCartney, and it surprised a lot of us in Chicago. The thing here is that Rahm gave his word that he wouldn't fire this guy, and all of a sudden he fires this guy. I mean, that right there tells you that Rahm's word isn't worth a damn. That tells you right there that Rahm is a liar. He's a politician, well, you know, so that's not new. But still in all, Rahm gave his word. I mean, if I'm going to give my word the way Rahm Emanuel gave his word to Superintendent Gary McCartney, I'm going to keep it. If you don't have anything, you have your word. Rahm lied to this guy. And that's resonating all through Chicago, how Rahm, through McCartney, the superintendent of the former police, the former police superintendent of Chicago, threw him under the bus. Threw him under the bus. Rahm threw him under the bus to save his own ass. I think that was wrong. I think Rahm should have kept his word and not give in to a bunch of loud mouths out here, you know, about firing him. Rahm, when he went against his word. Things and some of the other politicians think Rahm gave his word to this guy. If Rahm can't keep his word, then how in the hell are we to believe anything what he says? Why do we believe anything that he says? This proves that this guy. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I don't have a guest today, so it's just you and me. So we'll just play some. We'll have some fun, okay? We'll have some fun. I'll be right back. Let's see if I can pull up something. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody. All right. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay, here is some more. All right. Okay, here is some more on those shooters. The shooters carried assault-style weapons. Federal officials, wow, they had all kinds of deadliest massacres since Sandy Hook. And Sandy Hook was just such a heartbreaking incident. I mean, you had little children getting, I mean, about 30 of them. I don't know. And lawmakers in Congress are offering their prayers. Their prayers. What we need is gun control. More done on gun control. That's what we need. I know it's a lot of people out there saying, No, not gun control. No. I guess they don't give a damn if people get shot up every second of the day in America. I am not calling for anybody's gun to be taken away, especially if you're law-abiding. You got a level head on your shoulder. You're not going to be a nut, a crazy ass, and go out there and just shoot up a bus station or something. You know, this is nutty. This is crazy. This is awful. And I'm hearing that the shooters, the married couple, they're Muslims, the married couple. I'm hearing that they had an arsenal. These people had an arsenal. They were on a mission to kill and shoot. And these are ingrown, homegrown terrorists because the guy was born in the United States. Okay, they're showing the pictures of the victims of the shooting, and it's very, very sad. It is very, very sad. It is awful. We need our, okay, we need our lawmakers to do something. We need our politicians to do something. What are they trying to do now? They're trying to make sure, they're checking everybody out. If you're on Facebook, any kind of social networking, they're checking you out to see if you're going to become radicalized. They're too late. I don't think they can do that. But what pisses me off is that I thought, they thought the politicians thought that the United States was safe from this stuff, safe from another Paris. We're not safe. The thugs, the gangbangers, the people who want to hurt Americans, they are Americans, and they are already here in America. I tell my son all the time, you know, about how bad it is out here in the world. I tell him, and I tell him to always pay attention to people around him. Don't just walk down the street with your mind in a cloud. You better be watching who's in front of you, who's in back of you, who's on both sides of you. You never know. And another thing I always tell him that even though we live in a congested neighborhood and a lot of people are in and out and about in this particular area, I always tell my son, and I always keep this in mind for myself, that when you're going places, you're walking down the street, you're in your car, you're meeting people, you don't know who is carrying a gun. You don't know who's carrying a gun. You're in a crowd of people, you're downtown, you're heading towards the metro train station, or you're heading towards your car, or you're heading towards the subway to go home after a long day of work, and so many people are around you and everywhere, you know, you're saturated with folks. You don't know who's carrying a gun. You don't know who might go off, lose it, and start shooting up the place. And that gun is bought legally. That person who has that gun has it legally, but that person might go off, might be too crowded in the train car, you know, whatever. Anybody can go off at any minute. Oh, he was a nice person. She was so nice. She snapped in some kind of way, and just shot up the whole train car. You don't know who's carrying a gun and who's not carrying a gun out here anymore, because concealed and carry is legal in all 50 states. People are carrying guns, and they are carrying those guns legally. However, there's a lot of places that will not, that you can get in trouble if you bring a gun into a government building. You can't take a gun into a library. You can't take a gun into a clinic. There are so many, you can't get on the subway with a gun. There are so many places you can't take a gun in. In some cases, you can't even walk in the park with a gun. You know, it's big old signs up there was that no guns. For the park, you're limited to where you can carry a gun in some places. However, do you think that's going to stop anybody from carrying a gun? No. I mean, if you're going to go into a governmental building with a gun, do not go past any screeners. You better walk right by them. But that's not going to stop anybody from carrying a gun, because a lot of places you cannot have a gun, especially in governmental facilities. But people still carry them. Nobody's going to walk into a government building and say, "Hey, I got a gun." They're going to keep it concealed, because if you do that, then you're finished. You know, so guns are readily available. They are here. They are here to stay. We just have to have our brainless and spineless politicians to do something to keep us safe. because it is not Homeland Security. They cannot keep us safe. They better be keeping their own asses safe, because somebody can come in there and shoot that shit up, you know? Pardon my French, but it is just horrific the way that these shootings are occurring day after day after day after day after day after day. And our politicians are just letting it happen. I know I've had some people call into the show, well, and I've had some people tell me on Facebook and other LinkedIn sites and stuff like that that I'm on and participating with these people. And we're debating. We do a lot of debating on some of those social networking sites about, you know, things in politics and stuff like that and things that's going on in the world. However, you know, we do a lot of debating. And the first thing I tell them, I'm not here to take away anybody's guns. Because like I said before, I am a gun owner. I know that's going to scare a lot of people, but don't be scared. I don't think I'll ever go berserk and shoot up anything. You know, I don't think that'll ever happen. But I can't say that for my neighbor or the person who lives across the street, you know, because guns are readily available. And Obama's trying to stop guns from getting into the hands of the bad guys. Let me tell you something, Obama. The guns are already in the hands of the bad guys. They already have them. And they're buying them and they're getting them legally. And now the Republicans are saying, well, we should maybe step up on the mental health facilities and get these people some help. I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, these are our lawmakers. We voted for them, or some of us did, or, you know, and they are supposed to come up with solutions. To stop this madness, because if they don't stop this madness, it's just going to be more madness. It's going to be more madness if they don't do anything about it. And it doesn't look as if they are going to do anything about it, because they're in the pockets of the NRA. They're in the pockets of the NRA. The NRA, they're puppets. They're bought off. It's a shame. It's a shame that our politicians in Congress are bought and paid for, and they can't do a damn thing because they're scared to death. And I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans. Democrats and Republicans both are in the pockets of the NRA. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you so much. I don't have a guest today. It's just you and me. But I will have a guest tomorrow. Her name is Kathy Fleet Brody. She's a television person, a personality, author. She's an author. What does she do? Okay, I don't have a biography with me, but I will have it with me tomorrow. So you guys join me for that. She should be to her. She's very smart. She knows what she's going to be talking about. That should be fun. All right. Okay. If you miss a show here, you will miss a lot. 347-857-1762. That is the call-in number. If you don't want to call in, sit back and listen, and always podcast the show once it is off the air. I can't talk today. I don't know why. All right. Hey, wow, this is the holiday season. Came so fast. This is the holiday season. We got Christmas. Feed the hungry on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. That should be fun. That should be wonderful. It makes me feel good. And I know that my son, he enjoys. Make sure, and I upload them and, you know, stuff like that, and try to let my friends see that helping the homeless is a lot of fun, and they really appreciate it. I mean, when I was serving the homeless. I think it was last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? I was serving, and they always so thankful, as in Thanksgiving. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that makes you feel good. It really does. It makes you want to keep doing. Who are, I mean, because we have a whole host of people out here, needy people who in need of food. With the budget cuts, the social programs are being eliminated by this governor and by other Republican governors around the United States. This is great. This is wonderful. There's nothing like going out and helping someone. I've said this 1,000 times. If you can't help someone, are we? What are we if we can't help someone? And we don't need any politician to tell us to go out and help other people. We know to do that because we were doing that before they were elected, okay? And we're going to keep doing it because that's what's in our heart, is to help other people. Any way we can, we help other people. There is no better thrill in life than to help someone. There is no better thrill than that, than to give someone a bag of food that have no food, okay? Than to give someone a plate of food and give their children, around the table, serve them food also and watch them eat the food that you prepared for them. That's a thrill. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people do think something is wrong with that. You got people who hate old people. You got people who hate poor. You got people who can't stand the middle class. You got people who can't stand liberals or progressives because they just bleeding hearts or whatever. I don't understand that. Don't we have enough of people like ISIS, jihadists, Al-Qaeda, who hate us? Why would we want to hate each other because of what we do not have? It's just mind-boggling, people. It's just mind-boggling. And gun violence in Chicago and elsewhere is just awful. Okay. All right, I got a clip right here. I want you guys to listen to it. Here we go.
Okay. I'm also just now being told, we know Hillary Clinton is in Iowa, cutting her vacation short. She's back out on the trail. She also now has apparently just spoken about what happened in Roanoke. Let's take a listen to Hillary Clinton.
First of all.
All right, this is Hillary Clinton. Let me start it again. Hillary Clinton, the presidential candidate for the White House in 2016. This is Hillary Clinton. Go, Hillary.
I'm also just now being told, we know Hillary Clinton is in Iowa, cutting her vacation short. She's back out on the trail. She also now has apparently just spoken about what happened in Roanoke. Let's take a listen to Hillary Clinton.
First of all, I was so just stricken to think that these two young people doing the work that you guys do every single day would be murdered on live television. But I will also reiterate, we have got to do something about gun violence in America. And I will take it on. There are many people who face it and know it, but then turn away because it's hard. It's a very political, difficult issue in America. But I believe we are smart enough, we are compassionate enough to figure out how to balance the legitimate Second Amendment rights with preventive measures and control measures so that whatever motivated this murderer who eventually took his own life, we will not see more deaths, needless, senseless deaths. So, yes, I feel just great heartache at what happened, and I want to reiterate how important it is we not let yet another terrible instance go by without trying to do something more to prevent this incredible killing that is stalking our country. And we've had so many terrible instances of it in the last 2 years, but it happens every day. Intentional, unintentional, murder, suicide, it happens every day. And there is so much evidence that if guns were not so readily available, if we had universal background checks, if we could just put some time out between the person who's upset because he got fired or the domestic abuse or whatever other motivation may be working on someone who does this, that maybe we could prevent this kind of carnage. So I hope that in addition to expressing sympathy for those directly affected, that this is maybe for the media, for the public, for elected officials, for every American, what it hopefully will finally take for us to act. Thanks.
Are you wearing a feather suit?
All right. All right, that was Hillary Clinton on gun violence in America. And it's just horrific. It's just totally horrific. And I don't know. I really don't know. Suspects had, let me say this again, the shooter contacted the FBI monitored extremists. Okay, shooter contacted FBI monitored extremists. Suspect had 1,600 rounds on them, 12 pipe bombs at home. Damn. Left six-month-old daughter with grandmother. I mean, they left their six-month-old daughter with the grandmother. Wow. And the grandmother is going to be the one who's going to have to raise that child because the child's parents are dead, killed by police. Wow. Wow. Killers led secret life. This was some, okay, the officials are saying this was somebody they had never heard of before. Obviously, this guy was not on their radar. Okay, he was not on no-fly list, you know. All right, the brother-in-law of this guy said, I'm in shock. Co-workers say that shied for Hook. Okay, I've lost the page. But anyway, this is sad. It's a sad time in America. It's not good. It's not good. Just like I remember Sandy Hook. And I went to work the next day after Sandy Hook. And I had expressed my remorse for all of those little children being shot dead at Sandy Hook. And some of my coworkers came up to me, couldn't believe that I was giving off so many emotions for that horrific incident. Obviously, they didn't give a damn. They didn't care. But they saw that I care. Take advantage of that you care about a lot about things like that. They'll try to take advantage of that and try to use it to their advantage. And so you have to watch out for that. But anyway, I was emotional during Sandy Hook. And I'm emotional during this because innocent people died. Are disabled. They're disabled or they were working with the disabled. And now they've lost their lives or they've been shot. A lot of these people who have been shot, their lives will never, and they're still living, their lives will never be the same. You get shot. You know, I mean, hey, wow, that scar is going to be there for the rest of your life. It might hinder you from walking. You, I mean, wounded, I understand. Being wounded is not good either. It's better than being dead, but, you know, you're going to have that wound for the rest of your life. And this is going to be something that's going to, you know, be in your dreams. It's going to, you know, dog you for the rest of your life. This, that day that that guy and his wife, you know, came in and started shooting up the damn place. You know, so, and they were dressed in technical, I mean, technical gear. I mean, they looked like they were out of Call of Duty or something, you know? And Homeland Security was not ready. The White House was not ready. Congress was not ready. This caught them off guard. This caught them off guard, and this is a damn shame. The United States of America was caught off guard. And this, take it from me, people, take it from George Wilder Jr., this was terrorism. Even if the president won't say it, I will say it. And there's a lot of other radio talk show hosts and TV personalities who are saying it. This was terrorism. Come on, Obama, get with it, get with it, get with it, get with it. Even the FBI, some of the authorities who are investigating this, the detectives, some of them are saying terrorism. And I'm saying terrorism. This was ingrown terrorism. This guy was radicalized. His wife was radicalized. One of the things the government is going to have to do is tighten up on those visas, okay? Anybody can get a visa and just come into this country. If they're not coming across the border illegally, they're coming in the country with a visa and overstaying their visas. They're going to have to tighten up on these visas of letting foreign people into the country. I got nothing against foreign people, but America's, the lawmakers, they have to keep Americans safe. I have nothing against these people, but Congress has to do something. Congress has to do something. This just not cannot go on. Tighten up the borders. Do we want to accept these refugees? No. After this, no. No. I would say no. Okay? It doesn't mean I hate them. I understand their plight. But you have to understand this is the United States, and we want to keep Americans who are already here safe. Because there is no doubt about it, and I've said this 1,000 times on this show, and including my other past shows, terrorists are already here. That was proven 2 days ago. Terrorists, they're already here. And they're already radicalized. They're just waiting to strike again. And the thing about me and a lot of us, we believed Obama when he said that we were safe. We believed Homeland Security when they said that we were safe from terrorists. Terrorists couldn't strike the United States because we are ready. Apparently they lied because terrorism just did strike the United States and they were off guard. They were off guard. So we have to watch out who we let into the country, period. We have one senator who's running for office, one representative who's running for, Tammy Duckworth. She said about a few weeks ago that she wants 200,000 refugees coming into the United States or Chicago. Is she crazy? She said 200,000. 200,000. She may not win office, you know, because I just don't know. You know, even though they're being vetted and their backgrounds are being checked, that tells you nothing. That tells you nothing. Because anybody can go berserk at any point, anytime, and anywhere. They can be the most upstandingest person in the community, the nicest person. Oh, she doesn't bother anybody. She stays to herself. She does. Go look inside of her apartment, her room. She got 9 guns. handguns, Glocks, AK-47s, flashbangs, hand grenades. Apparently, this happened with this, I can't think of his name, but this couple. You know, apparently it happened with this couple a few days ago, you know, who went in and did this horrific thing to this facility that catered to the disabled. So you never know people. I used to, when my son was small, I used to walk him around the neighborhood, and I would say, "Look at that house over there. See that house over there? It's quiet. It's serene. Nobody's around it. It's a beautiful house. It's a great house. But one of the things about that house is we don't know what's going on inside that house." And we don't. We don't. We don't know what's going on in anybody's apartment, their homes. We don't know what's going on inside. Just like people don't know what's going on inside my apartment. You know, but that's one of the things we have to be cautious of, you know, because nobody knew what was going on inside this terrorist apartment either. Nobody knew what was going on inside of those guys who shot up Sandy Hook. They didn't know what was going on in their apartment. Nobody knew what was going on in those guys who shot up Columbine. Some of these colleges and universities, the subways, the malls, the theaters, the churches. Nobody knew what went on in these perpetrators' homes and their lives. Obviously, they were packing, preparing. They were getting ready. But they were, if you ask anybody about them, oh, they're nice. They were great. They was wonderful. Anybody could explode. Anybody can snap. Guns are too readily available. They are. They totally are. I mean, anybody can pass a background check. If you know, I mean, anybody can pass a background check. Some people get guns having felonies on their record. Some people get guns having misdemeanors on their record. Not all. But they just might slip through the cracks. So we just got to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant. The terrorists, they are already here. They could be next door, around the corner, across the street, in the condo over there. You never know. People are quiet. They don't say much. They don't say anything. They keep to themselves. They live alone. You don't know what's going on inside of their apartments or their homes. You don't, because it's none of your business, actually. But still in all, it's better to be cautious of people, because just like I've said, you don't know who's walking around with a gun in the streets. You don't. You really don't. You know, so you have to be vigilant. You have to be vigilant. And I'm, especially for my seniors out there, you have to be vigilant. You know, because they don't care anything about a senior, someone that's elder. I mean, they'll shoot, kill you just as fast as they would anybody else. Probably because you're older anyway. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you, everybody. And I want to play this clip again. Diamond and Silk, I mean, they, I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the terrorism. Let me see if I can find it. Can we find it? Diamond and Silk. Oh, here it is. Okay. Check this out on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hey, y'all. Okay, so I'm sitting up looking at my TV, yes. And I'm disturbed by what I see.
Okay,
now you got everybody all upset because now people are talking about deporting illegal immigrants back to their country.
Okay.
When they came here, illegally.
That's
and see, now you have the president done weighed in on it.
Okay.
And he said, it's not who we are as Americans.
Okay.
And I say, no, Mr. President, it's not who you are as an American.
That's right.
We as Americans want our border secure.
That's right.
So we can feel safe in our country.
Uh-huh.
We as Americans want our jobs back here in our country.
Yeah.
Where we can thrive again.
That's right.
We as Americans, baby, want to know that we matter first.
Exactly.
Before outsiders, so charity starts at home.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
We as Americans want our government to realize,
yeah,
that it's easier and cheaper for you to deport,
yeah,
instead of support.
That's
okay,
right.
All right. Now I know that we're the land of the free,
yes,
but it doesn't mean for people to come over here,
yes,
in our country illegally,
right,
and get free food,
food,
free housing,
housing,
free education,
education,
free medical.
Medical.
It doesn't mean that.
That don't mean
illegal
that.
Immigration, you all, is wrong.
It's
it is wrong in this country.
Mm-hmm.
When we as Americans, if we go to somebody's house uninvited,
yeah,
and we go right up in their house,
that's
they
right,
call that breaking and entering.
That's what
they don't grant us no amnesty.
They, so
they don't give us no pass to
no,
getting out of jail.
They
go ahead and jail us.
Yeah.
And they don't care about our children,
no,
and they're breaking
don't
up our families.
Mm-mm.
What they do is they send our children to foster care,
yep,
when that happens.
They,
oh,
sure,
don't do that.
They,
yes, 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 yes. And, if, and listen, if Bill Clinton can do mass incarceration,
yes,
then we can do mass deportation
that's
in this country,
right,
if
right
we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why we look at Donald Trump.
Right.
He's the only one that has a vision for this country,
yes,
you all.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that has a vision for the American people,
right,
especially black people.
Exactly.
And here we have been sitting up with a black president, yes, for all this long.
Mm-hmm.
What has he done for us lately? Absolutely nothing, okay?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yes,
and it just irritates me.
Yes.
And when I look at Hillary Clinton,
uh-huh,
she's such a liar, you all,
liar,
talking about she want to work for the people.
Uh-huh.
But here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
Hillary Clinton used to support mass incarceration.
Uh-huh.
Not all of a sudden she done changed her tune because,
uh-huh,
she pandered for black votes.
Uh-huh.
Now she don't support it anymore.
Yeah.
But her two biggest donors is two prison corporations,
uh-huh,
that back her, you all.
Woo.
And they believe in mass incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And if Hillary Clinton get in,
yeah,
all she gonna do is do what Bill Clinton did.
Yeah.
Sign another bill into law to have people locked up.
Nope.
Because she got to pay these people back.
She gotta pay them back.
She gotta pay these people,
mm-hmm,
back and done
right
paid through her campaign.
That's right.
Listen, I'm not looking for a pastor that done have that's been given $15 million of hush money to,
uh-huh,
hush up on the American
that's
people.
Right.
I'm not looking for a candidate that's sitting up telling lies and fanning flies. I'm not
that
looking for a career politician that can't take care of his own financial house,
yeah,
and then want to get to the White House,
uh-huh,
just to lead us all to the poorhouse, uh-huh, with him. I'm not looking for
we're
that, baby.
For that.
We're not looking for puppets. We're looking for our president.
That's right.
And that's why we stop for Trump.
That's
why we're going to vote for him. And you're going to have millions of people.
That's
you're
right
going to have black people lining up in droves,
yeah,
to vote for him.
Because
when we look at him, baby,
yes,
we see success.
Success.
Anytime you can take $1 million and turn it into $10 billion,
that's right,
look at what we can do with our money.
Look at that.
Look at what we can do. We see prosperity.
Prosperity.
Black people are tired of being just handed a crumb.
Yes.
You tell us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps,
uh-huh,
and then you take them same straps, give them to an illegal immigrant,
that's
to
right
leave us sitting up here stranded
that's
with
right
nothing.
With nothing.
People are tired of that.
That's
we
right
want somebody working for the American people,
yes,
baby. And that's why we start for Trump.
That's
and
right
that's why he going to have people lining up in droves,
that's right,
to vote for him.
That's right.
So the GOP,
yes,
stop pushing Mitt Romney.
That's
Mitt
right
Romney ain't going to get this, baby.
No, he
it's
going to
be Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Don't get it twisted.
Well, that's is it over now? Okay. All right. I like them. I like the ladies. I think they're great. Diamond and Silk, I think they're great. I think they're wonderful. But I don't agree with them. I don't think Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States. I don't think anything about Donald Trump. I don't think anything about Donald Trump at all. I think he's the worst nightmare that ever came down. I really, truly do. I truly do. He's a blowhard. Basically, he's an entertainer. He's a fool. And now the latest thing, one of his latest antics is he's charging. He wants money. He wants to be paid to go on CNN in the next debate, or he will not. He wants to be paid $5 million to go on CNN for the next presidential debate. CNN said they're not going to give him a damn thing. He want to be paid. He wants to be paid. See, Donald Trump, the guy is so full of himself. He is so, I almost said something. He is so full of himself. He, you know, I mean, it's his father's money that he, I mean, he did a good thing with his father's money. His father gave him $1 million and he invested it. That was great. That was wonderful. You know, so, you know, it was his father's money that he used. But he, you know, and I have to say congratulations to him. But he is nowhere near presidential material. There are blacks going to vote for him, though, just like there's blacks that are going to vote Republican, just like there's blacks that are not going to vote at all. So, you know, so Hillary Clinton does not have the black vote tied up. Some of that's going to go to Trump. And the sad part is that nobody is hardly talking about Bernie Sanders. Even the media doesn't cover Bernie Sanders the way they cover Hillary Clinton, the way they cover Donald Trump. It's like Bernie Sanders doesn't even exist anymore. You go over to Fox News, all you're going to hear them talking about, they're not going to say one damn thing about Bernie Sanders. Even MSNBC, which is becoming another Fox News, MSNBC used to be a liberal or progressive cable station, but they're looking at Fox News and they're looking at Fox News ratings, and they're trying to be like Fox News. MSNBC is owned by Comcast. ABC7 is owned by Comcast. Corporations are ruling. NBC got rid of Ed Schultz, not because he wasn't good. It's just they didn't like his message. And they're still in the dumps. The ratings are still in the dumps. So they're trying to be more like Fox News, and that's a damn shame. Liberals, progressives, your voice, just like Bernie Sanders, is being suppressed by the media, by the corporations, by the rich. You know, I mean, it's like the book I'm writing. We are being run out of town. You know, so, and that's a shame that MSNBC is becoming more like Fox News. I don't watch either one of them anymore. I used to be partial to MSNBC, but since they're taking the road of Fox, no way. I don't even go to the website anymore. I don't even visit the website anymore. I used to be a part of the website. Because the news is, I mean, a lot of these news stations, these news channels, the only thing they're doing is telling us what they want us to hear. They're telling us what they want to hear. They're not telling us what we should know. If you want to know what's happening in the world, you have to research it yourself, because you're not going to get it from Fox News. Fox News is just going to bash the president, throw out a bunch of lies, get a lot of hateful people on their show to spew out hate. And that's the same thing happening to MSNBC. It's a shame. Liberals, you're not going to have anything. Hey, but we've got internet radio, okay? We've got internet radio, okay? And this is a popular show, so listen to my show all the time. And you will get my opinions on a lot of stuff. Listen to this show. Tell your friends, your neighbors, I mean, your family, everybody to gather around and listen to my show. And if you haven't heard a show, archive my show. I've got lots of shows on this website that you can click on and just listen right then and there. You don't have to even download it. Just listen, you know. But you can always archive a show and keep it as your own and listen whenever you want to listen, or bring your friends, family in on the fun, because this is fun and it is great fun. I tell all my guests, I said, this is fun, this is great. And I think a radio talk show host and his radio show should be fun. Nobody wants to come on a show that's boring. Nobody wants to come on a show that they know that there's nobody listening. come on a show where they can be feel that their message is going to get out or their product is going to get out. And that's what I try to provide. And that's what is happening. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. You miss a show, you will miss a lot. I don't have a guest today. It's just me, you, and me. You know, I don't have any commercials on here. That's one thing about internet radio. But I could if I wanted to. I mean, I can always get sponsorship for the show if I wanted to. But maybe sometime in the future, I can pick up some sponsors for the show. Sponsors mean that you're going to, you know, be in the money, I guess. I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting sponsors for the show, but I don't know if I want too many commercials to tie up my show, because over-the-air radio or traditional radio, I mean, you've got too many commercials on. I mean, I'm trying to listen to the traditional radio, over-the-air radio, and all I hear is commercials. Commercials. Commercial after commercial after commercial. I understand why some radio stations, traditional radio stations, have to play commercials, because that's their bread and butter. They have to pay. They have to do those commercials. But a sponsor is not going to sponsor your radio show unless they know that people are going to be listening. You know, they want to make sure that people are going to be listening. Nobody wants to be on your show if there's no listeners. Nobody wants to be on your show if it's not popular or semi-popular. You know, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. But this is a popular show. I mean, even if, I mean, like I said before, this is Thursday night, okay? Thursday night. People get off work. I mean, people are, you know, tired and whatever. You know, they can always archive the show. Listen to the show later. That's the beauty of it. Listen to it later. Listen to it at your convenience. Give me feedback. I love feedback for the show. And I can tell you some of the feedback that I've gotten from the show. People will say, George, who's your favorite character that you write about in your books? Who's your favorite character? You know, and I'll always say my favorite character. I have two, actually, favorite lead characters in some of the stuff that I write. One of my favorite characters is Special Agent Derek Sweat. He's a pretty cool guy. I conjured him up. I made him up. I invented him, or you can say I created him, back in the 90s. And I kind of created him after. See, I was an avid James Bond fan. I mean, I loved basically all the James Bond movies, especially if they were starring Sean Connery, okay? And I tried to make Derek Sweat something like James Bond. But if you read Derek Sweat books, you'll find that he's nothing like James Bond. But I got the inspiration from, you know, watching the James Bond movies. I very rarely read the books, but I have seen the movies. So, and my second character is Mason Featherstone. I mean, these two characters are like night and day. Mason Featherstone, he's an older guy. He's a senior citizen, and he's very interesting. I'm going to start doing a series of short stories featuring him. I've got one short story that's featuring him right now published up on Amazon called The Emily and the Old Man. And it's a great story. It's a wonderful story. I think it's beautiful, not just because I wrote it, but I think it's a telling story. So my favorite two characters of all the stuff that I have produced and published is Special Agent Derek Sweat and Mason Featherstone. Yeah, Mason Featherstone. If you don't know who Mason Featherstone is, go check out my book, Emily and the Old Man. It's a short story, so it's not that much reading. It's only 99 cents. So download that and read that and have fun reading it. It's some twists. I got some twists up in there. All right, this is George Wada Jr. I'm almost forgetting who I am. Okay, George Wada Jr. of the George Wada Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is beautiful. I think it's a 7:18 Chicago time. I think it's about 35 degrees or something outside. It's pretty nippy. It's pretty cold, but I'm here in my office. I'm near the lake. It's always colder near the lake because the wind comes blowing in, you know? Wow. Okay, 347-857-1762. That is the number. That is the number. This is Anything Goes Thursday. Tomorrow it will be Anything Goes Friday. Friday. Also, my guest. I will have a guest tomorrow. Her name is Carol Fleet Brody. Okay, some people say, you know, I have people on the show. Sometimes I have guests on the show, and people say, who is that you had on your show? I never heard of her. I never heard of him before. Well, there's a lot of people out here that we've never heard of who are doing extraordinary things. A lot of people every day, all the time out here who are doing extraordinary things, who are great parts of their community, who are helping people, helping others in many ways. I've had doctors on the show. I've had TV personalities on the show. I've had authors on the show. I've had nonfiction authors on the show. I've tried to get a versatile pool of guests to be on the show. Just because you never heard of a person or a guest that's on my show doesn't mean that that guest doesn't have something important to say or important to for us to learn. So, but a majority of the people you haven't heard of, but they are great people. They are wonderful people. They're always providing a great insight into whatever they're doing. And that's what I like. I like for my guests to come on my show to provide my listeners with things, information that they can use to help. And I don't know a talk show, whether it's traditional or internet radio talk show, where as a host doesn't try to do those kinds of things for his audience. You know, so. All right, this is George Wada Jr. of the George Wada Jr. Show. I think we're going to take a break right here. Let's see what can we do. Okay. If you hear any cracking or breaking in the show, I do fully apologize. All right, we got that clip. Okay. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is George Waddle Jr. of the George Waddle Jr. Show. I'm all over the place. Make sure you check out my writings and published material on Facebook, www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder. You know, this is Thursday the 3rd, and behind me the television is on, okay? Television is a show, an all-black African-American show called The Wiz. This is a stage production and a remake of the 1978 movie that starred Michael Jackson and Diana Ross and some other people. So this is The Wiz. It's live. I think it's filmed, actually, but it's a live stage production. And it's terrible. You know, I thought the movie was kind of terrible, but I think this stagey remake of The Wiz is terrible. It's terrible. I think some of the actors forgotten their clue. They don't know what to say. They're nervous and stuff like that. You can see it. So I'm not going to be too bad on it. I'm waiting for the other reviews of the show. But my review is probably a C. I'm going to give it a C. I do review books. I'm a book reviewer, but I'm not too much of a stage show or play reviewer or movie reviewer. But I know when I like something and when I don't like something, and I know how much I like something, if I like something, if I like it at all. And I give it a C. I don't think it's that done. I give it a C probably for visuals or something like or stage production. But as for acting and, you know, performances, probably C. Maybe I could be a movie critic. Who knows? All right, this is George Waddle Jr. Almost off the air. I think we got about three more minutes into the show, 7:27. And like I said before, we were talking about gun violence in Chicago, gun violence around the world, shooting up America. We're talking about Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, his cover-up, Anita Alvarez being animated. She was totally animated tonight. Man, I'm probably going to dig that up and pull that clip off and just play it on my show probably tomorrow or sometime during the week because she was totally animated. She was totally animated because there's so many people calling for her resignation. I don't know how she can work. She can't really work in this environment. The reason why nobody can fire her, because she's an elected official. She would have to be voted out of office. And she's saying she's not going anywhere. You know, so I still think that Rahm Emanuel broke his word with his superintendent, police superintendent Gary McCartney, when he said that he had McCartney's back. And all of a sudden, he fires McCartney. I mean, I thought that was something. Even though we were calling for McCartney to resign, to quit, But Rahm gave his word. He gave his word not to fire the guy. I mean, if Rahm gives his word not to fire somebody and then he goes and breaks his word, how in the hell can anybody trust this man anymore? His old boss is calling for federal investigation into the cover-up in Chicago. His old boss, Hillary Clinton. And she's running for president of the United States. Isn't that something? All right, we're just about off the air, everybody. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for podcasting. Thank you for the feedback that you give me for the show. Man, happy holidays. It's coming up. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. You know, I was out earlier today, and I saw so many people shopping, Christmas shopping. They're Christmas shopping already. I guess that's a good thing. And it should be fun. It should be fun. Let's hope we don't have any more shootings, no more killings. It just stinks. Let's hope we don't have any more of that kind of thing. At least, you know, at least let's try to be ready for it if it happens again. But I don't know if we'll ever be ready for it. All right, goodbye, everybody. Oops, wrong one. Goodbye, everybody.
After decades of ignoring or delaying financial obligations like pension funds, this is what it's come to in Chicago.